Please stand and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. By the grace of God, I want to continue to preach in your hearing church guidelines for prophesying, praying, and speaking in tongues. Part 2, Praying Through the Bible, Message 251. Holy Father God, we can do nothing without you. We acknowledge our weakness, and we pray that you would help us to understand your holy word and to apply it to our lives. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, that he would cease trying to cause confusion regarding this. Help us to make sure that all of our sins are confessed and repented of, so that our hearts and minds can be clear. So, Lord, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others. And, Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would crush afresh and anew our flesh, crucify us afresh and anew, and help us to die to self and hide behind the cross. Fill us with the anointing, the unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to not only expound your holy word and preach it, but to hear it and to do it. And we pray that through it all, Christians would be encouraged to do prayer right, to pray in faith, believing, and through it all, that a lost soul or many lost souls would come to know you as Savior. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we come again to an extremely controversial passage of Scripture. We are in a series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you, challenge you, yes, even motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is no other God, and to pray in faith, believing, so that when you pray, you believe that God is there and that God hears your prayers. If your sins are confessed and there's nothing between your soul and the Savior. By the grace of God, beloved, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 250 messages in this series. This is message number 251, titled Church Guidelines for Prophesying, Praying, and Speaking in Tongues, Part 2. Now let me say from the outset that I have never spoken in tongues. I don't believe my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., ever spoke in tongues, even though my mother, in his latter years, convinced him to become a Pentecostal holiness preacher. I believe there was just too much Baptist in him to speak in tongues. I've never seen my mother speak in tongues, but I believe she has. And so, coming from my conservative, independent Baptist background, I've always thought that speaking in tongues was used by God to get the gospel to people who spoke different languages. And I still believe that. But as we read this passage here today, Paul says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. It's like a prayer tongue. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And I believe that this prophesying was not only something that came directly from God right into the person's spirit to share with the church, but also could have been no doubt expounding upon the Old Testament. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, we talked about the importance of prophecy in the early church. Prophecy was direct revelation from God through the Holy Spirit for the believers. And some believe this was necessary because the early church did not have access to the New Testament. However, they had access to the Old Testament just as Jesus did. And I'm sure they expounded the Word of God from the Old Testament as well as got new revelation because they did not have the New Testament that guides the church like we have today. Prophecy was a valuable gift because it was beneficial, as all gifts are valuable, but this one was beneficial to all believers. Out of all of the virtues, Paul desired that the Christian church, or particularly the Corinthian church, seek charity or love one for another. And by the way, if you don't have love in your heart, first for God and Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then for your family members, because charity must begin at home, we got too many people who love gutter snipe people elsewhere and hate their loving and caring family members. Charity, my friend, must begin at home. God deliver us from young people who trust everybody else's word but the word of their parents. And be that as it may, we ought to love and respect one another. I thank God for an experience I had last night with an adult birthday girl in our family. And love and respect. And I thank God for that. I pray that for you and your family, that even when your children are adults, they love and respect you as they should. But that's not going to happen if you don't love and respect them. Charity begins at home, then the church, and then the world. Can somebody say amen? Otherwise, you're just making a whole bunch of noise if you don't have genuine love. And by the way, even a dog knows when you love him. A baby knows whether or not her mother loves her, or her father loves her, or what have you. You can't fake love, because love is a God kind of thing. It comes from God. God is love. We're not talking about some type of lustful love, some Romeo and Juliet love, but the God kind of love, agape love. And out of all of these spiritual gifts, Paul desired that they seek prophecy. However, it appears as though many were seeking another gift, that of speaking in tongues, and seeking this gift in a selfish way. Like so many of us today, want to be seen as special. I've never spoken in any tongue whatsoever, to my knowledge, in my life since I have been saved. And I know some of you are saying, see, you've never been born again. You've never spoken in tongues. I know that I have been redeemed. I know for a fact that I'm born again, yet I have not spoken in tongues. You say, preacher, you're just not open to it. You got too much Baptist in you. No. God has never given me that gift. And we will deal a little bit later on how that when Paul asked about the gifts, he said, do all speak in tongues? The obvious answer is no. So it's a gift like anything else. I do have a dear preacher friend who is a Baptist preacher, one of the most powerful Baptist preachers in America, and no doubt, and not only that, he can write as well. He has a powerful pen, but he speaks in a tongues, in a prayer language. You say, have you ever talked about it with us? No, we've never talked about it. We don't need to talk about it. He can pray like he wants to pray, and pray in tongues. I do not pray in tongues. I pray in English. I pray in Ebonics if I have to, because I know God can understand that. I don't have that gift. Ain't mad at you. Ain't mad at you if you have it. Please don't be mad at me. And God bless him. And Paul was not opposed to this gift. But Paul, and more importantly, God and Jesus Christ, they are opposed to anything that people are seeking after to be seen as special above others, better than others, and only for their selfish benefit. Can somebody say amen? He was opposed to the way in which people desired it and misused it, because it did not edify all members of the body. Are you helping everybody in your family, everybody in your church? You got your little secret, little tongues thing going on, and you don't help nobody. That's okay. You can have that, but help somebody. Tell somebody something that they can understand. I've never spoken in tongues as far as a language is concerned. I know a little French. Comment allez-vous? I know a little Spanish, que pasa. I know a little Korean, annyeonghaseyo, kamsahamnida. If that's speaking in tongues, that's all I can do. And so Paul says in verse 2, beloved, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. And so, as I was saying, I have never spoken in tongues used by God to proclaim the gospel in Acts, nor have I spoken in these tongues in some mysterious language that Charles McKinney used to call gibberish. You say, why you name Charles McKinney? Because he's the first one I heard to say that, and I'm not going to call it gibberish, lest my preacher friend get mad at me. He's bigger than I am, and he'll beat me up. Before we get deeper into this verse, we turn to Dr. John Walvoord for some background knowledge and understanding on speaking in tongues. I told you a long time ago, I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. I like what C.S. Lewis said, and also Rick Warren said, basically, you need to stop trying to be original, or you'll never be original. That's not the point, to be original. The point is to get the message to the people. I'm all about understanding, making it clear. In fact, what turned me on to the Independent Baptist movement and some of the Southern Baptist preachers such as Adrian Rogers, white fellows, Rick, there's another guy named down in Mississippi, I forget his name, but Pastor Rick something or another. But he was the first one I heard to just take the Bible and just stand flat-footed and preach in plain English, plain language, straightforwardly, point by point, point one, point two, point three. Because I came out of a tradition of a hooping and hollering and shouting the people out of the church and things like that. And so I never could understand that, so I've never preached like that. And you say, well, that's why you don't have a crowd. That's fine, but you understand what I said. Because we used to leave the church, boy, I tell you, he preached. What he preached on today? I missed the Sunday morning. Well, I can't tell you what he preached, but he hooped and hollered and said something like, Jeremiah went down the mountain now, something like that. And so I loved the plain preaching and teaching of the Word of God. But Dr. Walvoord writes probably the most controversial of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of tongues. On the day of Pentecost, the Jews who had come to Jerusalem for the feast were amazed to hear the apostles speak in their languages. And they asked the question, how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Two other instances of speaking in tongues occurred in Acts. It would seem reasonable to conclude that in these three instances in Acts, there was a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit in the form of empowering men to speak in languages that were not known to them. It should also be observed, however, that these are the only three instances mentioned in the book of Acts, and that apart from the discussion in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, there is no other reference to speaking in tongues in the New Testament. The purpose of speaking in tongues is clearly defined in the Scriptures. He continues, it was to be a sign to attest to the gospel, a proof to the unsaved of the genuineness of the Holy Spirit's work. Though words were expressed and the glory of God was revealed, there is no instance in Scripture where a doctrine was revealed through speaking in tongues. And it does not seem to have been a major vehicle for the revelation of new truth. End of quote. Like the gift of prophecy, as we have previously defined it, the gift of speaking in tongues was important to the early church. for a specific reason, for testifying to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt about that, and the reality of the Holy Spirit's work in the world. It was not to be used for showing off or as a symbol of a person's status or level of spirituality or proof of salvation. Some in the Pentecostal tradition have elevated this gift above others, even to the point of claiming that it is proof that someone is saved and or filled with the Holy Spirit, and that teaching is false. There are millions of Christians who have never spoken in tongues, and it's not because they're not open to it. They don't have that gift. In the New Testament, speaking in tongues was never seen as more important than any other gift. Please understand that. In 1 Corinthians 12, it is listed as one of many gifts, and it is listed as the eighth in Paul's ranking of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And get ready, by the grace of God, we're going to probably, no doubt, stay in these three chapters for a while, because this area needs to be thoroughly dealt with. So many people are confused. So many people, I believe, have been scared away from getting saved because they don't want to speak in what is in their minds gibberish. They don't want to be talking out of their minds in their minds. They think that's crazy. They think that is spooky. And we need to tell them that they do not have to speak in tongues to be saved or to see that as a proof of their salvation. That's just not true. It's not the case. In verse 2 of our passage, we see, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why Paul de-emphasizes the use of speaking in tongues in the church. And by the way, this is not the only gift that people become proud of and arrogant about and selfish about. It is, there are other gifts that people become proud. It's just our sinful human nature to do that. Become proud. One of the reasons why God hates pride is because you didn't do anything to get what you've got. God is saying, sitting on his throne, now listen, I made you from the dust. Not like Wonder Woman, who was made by her mother from the dust, which I do not understand. God made you from nothing. He said, I'm good looking. Look at me. I made myself look good. No. Even though some people are really going crazy with this plastic surgery, I saw a beautiful lady the other day. Beautiful lady as she was beautiful. She would be considered a 10 as she was, as God made her. But she went through multiple plastic surgery events. And she is unrecognizable from the beautiful person that God made her. You say, well, does she look better? No. God is sitting on his throne saying, now look at you. Look at you. I made you. I gave you gifts. I gave you talents. And look at you using your gifts and talents and your looks and everything else with your proud self, thinking that you're better than others when you don't have anything that I didn't give you. That's why God hates pride. Stop being proud about stuff that God gave you. That's stupidity. It is because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. This is where many people, like my preacher friend, say it's a prayer language. It's a special prayer language. Some say it's the language of the angels. Commentators have pointed out, beloved, that the word unknown is an unfortunate addition in the King James Version. And I do have many preacher friends who will say, Nonsense to that. Nonsense. Everything in the King James is inspired. They won't even call it a version. They call it the King James Bible. That word is not in the original Greek, however, and it has caused confusion down through the years. The tongues that Paul speaks of are simply other languages. Although the case can be made that one of these tongues is the language of angels, or the language of heaven, or a prayer language, a special prayer language. Again, I've never experienced that. I don't have that gift. Talk with somebody who does, because they will tell you that they have a very deep experience with that prayer language, speaking in tongues. And you cannot deny somebody's experience if you're not them. Whatever you believe these tongues are, Paul's point is that they should not be used in public worship without interpretation, because it is not beneficial for those who cannot understand those languages that you're speaking. And by the way, some of you don't even speak English well. We can't understand what you're saying, much less a language that we have never heard before. The one who speaks in tongues speaks mysteries to God alone, and you ought not to be on the stage up there showing off. The preacher is making announcements, and you jump up and start speaking in some unknown tongue like the lady did in the church I went to when I was a child. And the poor preacher trying to go on with the message. And buddy, nobody would say nothing when she's speaking in an unknown tongue. Nothing. It was quiet. Everybody just looked at her exactly, I believe, how she wanted it to be. I guess when the preacher said something she didn't like, she, okay. Let me go ahead on into my thing here. And it seemed like it was like clockwork every Sunday morning. And I would sit there as a little boy and look at us, wow. And then I would do what I do best. After that, after Jennifer sung in the choir and Janice, beautiful young ladies, sung like, they looked like angels and sung like angels. And I saw all of that, I went to sleep. The best sleep I had was in church, because I was a renegade rebel devil, kind of like my sons, bless their heart, but worse. Anyway, beloved, the church is a place where mysteries are revealed through the plain teaching of God's Word. Believers ought to leave a church service with clarity and understanding, not with more confusion than when they arrived. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, give us clarity, give us understanding, give us wisdom and knowledge regarding this matter as we go deeper into it. And Lord, help us not to be people who are haters on others who may have a gift, and jealous of others who have the gift, and mad because we don't have it. Help all of us to be content with the gifts and talents that you've given us to serve you with, for your glory, your praise, and your honor in the church. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins as your Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All you have to do, dear friend, is Understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Understand that you're on your way to a devil's hell. The hell was not made for you. But if you live like the devil and be disobedient like the devil and act like the devil and look like the devil, you're going to hell with the devil. There's no other place for you. And just like there's no other place for a criminal but a jail cell, there's no other place. You cannot live among us. And so acknowledge your sinfulness. Acknowledge that you have done wrong in your life. And understand that because of your sin, you will go to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, for he says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 9, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from the punishment of sin, which is hell. Saved from a life of no purpose, no understanding of it. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and ask him to save you today. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong in my life. I understand that if I die without Christ as my Savior, I will spend eternity in hell. That's how much you hate sin. You sent your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world by dying on the cross for my sins and for the sins of the world. Now, Lord, I admit I don't understand it all, but I believe in Christ and I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my wretched soul. Forgive me of all of my sins past and present, and help me to repent of my sins and to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven because you simply believed on Christ. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life, and that is simply believed on him. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, if there is a next time, please know that God loves you. We love you with his love. And may God bless you real good.